This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, November 20th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Two major power companies say they'll go bankrupt unless they raise rates in January. But some state lawmakers say Illinois consumers can't afford paying up to double the price for electricity. Amanda Vinicky takes a look at if and where there's middle ground.
Without legislative action, Ameren and ComEd customers will soon start seeing higher electric bills. So far, the only solution the General Assembly has formally taken up to prevent those hikes is to extend a decade-long rate freeze until 2009. But it's unclear if there's enough support for it in the House, and the President of the Senate opposes it. There are at least three other existing proposals that lie between that and doing nothing. Chicago Democrat Ira Silverstein's behind one such measure. It would keep rates steady for another 5 months, in which time stakeholders could work out a compromise.
A three-year extension of that passed, fine, but I don't know if that's going to pass or not. That's why I just put this out to keep the matter alive.
With the legislature only scheduled to meet three more days before the end of the year, Silverstein is calling on the governor to bring the interests together to work out a compromise before then. Two other proposals allow the companies to increase their rates, but by lesser amounts. So far, none of those alternatives have been addressed by the General Assembly. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A federal judge has sentenced Chicago Mayor Richard Daley's former patronage chief to 46 months in federal prison for engineering a fraud scheme designed to cover up political patronage hiring at City Hall. Robert Sorich showed no emotion as U.S. District Judge David Corr berated him in court today. The judge says Sorich was involved in corruption with a capital C. And Corr added that doling out jobs based on politics rather than performance stinks. Sorich was the former number two man in the mayor's Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. He was convicted in July of two counts of mail fraud. Prosecutors say Sorich and others rigged interviews and falsified documents to hide the fact that city officials were violating the Shachtman Decree, which bars political hiring for most city jobs. Daley hasn't been accused of any wrongdoing. Illinois Housing Development Authority has approved the sale of $115 million in homeowner mortgage revenue bonds. The bonds are scheduled to be released for sale on January 9th and 10th. Proceeds from the sale will fund Illinois' iLoan mortgage program, which offers below-market interest rate home mortgages to low-income buyers. To qualify, a buyer must be a first-time home buyer, and there also are limits on income and purchase price. The iLoan mortgage program will be available January 26th. Governor Rod Blagojevich says the bond sale will help more than 1,000 Illinois families afford to buy homes. U.S. Senator Barack Obama will address Iraq policy at Chicago's Council on Global Affairs today. It's an encore of his appearance a year ago, but since then, the war, the political environment, and Obama himself have changed. Shauna Lee has more.
War architect Donald Rumsfeld has left. The Democrats will soon take power, and Obama has fueled speculation he'll run for president. For all those reasons, political analysts will scrutinize Obama's Iraq speech for some time to come. Jay Parker is with the Center for the Study of the Presidency, a nonpartisan research group.
But as everyone has said, regardless of their views on the war, I can't think of anyone who seriously believes that this will be resolved to the point where whoever's elected in 2008 won't still be wrestling with this.
Obama's office did not give details about the senator's speech, but in recent weeks, he and fellow Senator Dick Durbin have called for the Iraqi government to take a bigger role in its own security. I'm Sean Ali.
According to a study being released today, Purdue's Martin Jischke is the second highest paid president of a public university in the U.S. David Rozelle of the University of Delaware is the highest paid public university president this year, receiving almost $980,000 in pay and benefits. Jischke is next at $881,000. The median pay is about $375,000. Private school presidents continue to be higher paid. Audrey Doberstein, retired president of Wilmington College in Delaware, topped the list with a compensation package totaling $2.7 million last year, but much of it represented one-time payments upon her retirement. The figures were in an annual report being published today in the Chronicle of Higher Education. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosworth. A certain chicken restaurant announced a change in its logo a few days ago, which got commentator Amy Guida to thinking about her childhood, company secrets, and law. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
There's been this man in my life for as long as I can remember. I spent a lot of Friday and Saturday evenings at his place. He always looked his old dapper self, even when I saw him last year on the streets of Beijing, China. And boy, does he know how to keep a secret. His name? Colonel Sanders, as in the man-turned-trademark for that fried chicken restaurant. There came word a few days ago that the colonel has changed his appearance to reflect the changing times. But as much as they try to update him, one thing's never going to change: the colonel's secretive nature. You know, that whole secret recipe, 11 herbs and spices thing. They can't change that part of the colonel because the success of the entire company rests on that secret. And the more secrets the colonel keeps, the more secret they stay. That's because the law helps to protect company trade secrets. Trade secrets are things like secret recipes, company plans, processes, tools, mechanisms, compounds, or other information crucial to the company. Courts offer companies trade secret protection to help reward them for their business efforts, and they maintain the secret unless the company spills the beans to too many. We know about the colonel's specific trade secret experiences because he's fought routinely to keep away from the oven those not authorized to cook in his special way. But when a company heads to court, sometimes some information gets out. Take a case from Kansas in 1960, just 8 years before the time the first KFC franchise opened. The court ultimately decided that a former KFC restaurant had to stop using a pressure cooking method that was unique to KFC. But along the way, we learn that a quality broiler-type chicken is first selected, and piece portions are dipped in a milk and egg wash made of 2 eggs to a quart of milk, dipped in the special seasoning flour that complements the flavor of the chicken. The court later calls it a secret seasoning salt. Okay, admittedly, not much information there. And in a case from 1985, the court lauds the colonel's attempts to keep it all a mystery. Turns out that the company gives one part of the recipe to one seasoning company and the other to a second seasoning company so that neither company has all the secret ingredients. It then combines the two seasoning mixtures. It boggles the mind, the colonel is reported as saying in one case, just to think of all the procedures and precautions the company takes to protect my recipe. Which makes it all the more amazing that there's a link on the company website to Colonel's Recipes, but with options like puffy meat patties, huckleberry cake, and chess pie, it looks like the cookbook's been prepared not only by that ever-secretive colonel, but by company lawyers, too. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for the region this afternoon, mostly sunny and warmer, the high 48, with west winds up to 15 miles per hour. A few clouds, chilly tonight, the low around 28, south to southwest winds, 5 to 15 miles per hour, becoming northwesterly. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, November 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bosworth, AM 580 News.